This regular meeting of the Madison Plains School Board to order. Can you take the roll, please?
Sure. Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Present.
Mr. Hunter?
Present.
Mr. Swanger?
Here.
Mr. Blosser?
Present.
Mr. Hall's present.
Okay, can y'all please stand for the pledge? Don, would you like to lead us tonight, please?
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Don. All right, I'd like to open up the meeting for the board work session. Does anybody have anything tonight?
Yes, I did. Got a couple of items, just real quick. I'll hand these out. We'll pass those around. Who's going to make it? Okay, this is a printout about Ramtech. And Ramtech, as it says on there, is Robotics and Advanced Manufacturing Technology Education. Oh, there's my hand. There we go. Thank you. This was part of a grant that was set in, actually on a statewide basis, by Tolls and actually five other career and tech centers. Was sent in under the same program that our 4-6 HVAC program was sent in, and was funded exactly the same way. As our HVAC was turned down, so was this robotics program. But this is a pretty good idea of what it is. It tells pretty much what the grant was that went in and what this would do. But the purpose of this program, if we can get this put into Tolls, will answer a lot of need that we have to train people for the world of work, primarily in manufacturing. Manufacturing is not gone in this country. Low-level manufacturing jobs are gone in this country. If we can teach you to put the nut on the bolt in 10 or 15 minutes, those jobs have been sent worldwide. No businessman in the world is going to pay $25 an hour to get the same thing done that he can do for $4 to $6 a day. And that's why our manufacturing jobs have been shipped out. And if anybody thinks they're coming back, call your congressman. I don't think that's going to happen. The new manufacturing jobs today are done more in the line with technology. Rather than have somebody doing one or two individual steps, we're using robotics to do things like welding, to put the nut on the bolt. The old idea of press two buttons and pull the lever, we have a robot that does that now. And as far as technology is concerned, I really don't see technology taking jobs away. I see technology doing the same thing that the Industrial Revolution did. With technology, granted, a robot will replace an individual. But that robot that comes into that plant has to be designed by somebody, has to be built by somebody, has to be installed by somebody, has to be maintained by somebody, has to be programmed, and even has to be run by another individual. Does that create jobs or does that take jobs away? The other thing that it does is when you start manufacturing that way, you lower the price of the product or service, whatever it happens to be, that's produced. When you lower that price, you open up the market to a whole new group of people who couldn't afford it previously. So you end up with more money in the system, you end up with more people working. Technology is not going to take jobs away. It is, however, going to require our young people going out here into the world of work to be much better trained than what we've done in the past. Our typical high school diploma isn't going to get it. They're not going to get hired because they've got no saleable skills. And this technology program will hopefully answer some of the needs that we need as far as training people in manufacturing and that type of technology. The other thing going on at Toll's, we have changed our, we had a carpentry program that just is, it's not drawing kids. As many jobs as there are in the building and trades industry, kids aren't taken. So we changed that program, and it's now a four-part program with carpentry, heating, ventilating, and air conditioning, maintenance, and electric. It's four semesters, so student comes in as a junior, rotates through those four programs, and then the certification will be based on the, hopefully, national testing or national tests to see or to make sure that they qualify to be able to go out and get those jobs. The other thing we've done is our communications person, who was part-time, has left us to go home and raise a couple kids, and we now have a new communications person at Toll's, and this job is now full-time. We found from the use of a part-time person that communication pays off. We're starting now, just now, to see results of getting word out to the public as far as what we're doing at Toll's and what the kids are getting at Toll's, and the fact that they are well trained for the positions that they go into. So we've gone to a full-time person in that position, and hopefully it will make a difference, and we will pull more kids. We continue to work on professional development, placement of our students, and passage of the national certified exams. That's all I've got on that. The only other thing that I will say is Sunday we did induct 14 new members into National Honor Society. This is the cream of our crop at Madison Plains. Those kids deserve our recognition and our pride for the job that they've done as far as being selected to get in there. I don't know, Chris, maybe you can tell me, how many kids were tapped? For NHS. I know 14 were selected, but usually there's more kids tapped than getting.
That 14 is 14.
Okay, so they all applied this year. I know last year the number that we had, half of the kids that were tapped for NHS did not take the additional step to get recommendations and to write a short synopsis of what they've done and why they should be a member of National Honor Society. So if they all did it this year, we're moving up in the world. That's really good. But I guess the other thing that this does, and I know that we instigated this to make sure that our kids are rising above what it normally takes to do something. And these kids not only meet the standards and meet the goals of getting good grades, but they serve in their community. These kids all have excellent service records as far as the community is concerned, and they've got good character. And these are the kids that, if it takes one more step to reach excellence, these kids go that extra step. I think we can be really proud of them. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Don. Is there anybody else with something for the work session?
Mr. President, I'm going to ask, it's okay with Boone and yourself, can we move ahead? I'd like to see what happens here.
I'm kind of excited.
More excited about seeing this than anything else. Can we see that now?
I think we can. We'll come back to the work session if anybody has anything, so let's go ahead and do that.
Are you ready for my kids?
Let me take a minute to introduce to you Mr. Rhodes. He's our K-6 technology person that's been part of this program for, what, 6 years, Chris? Seven?
About 6 years.
And the only guy, the only staff member I know that knows all 700 kids in this building by first name.
First or last. Kindergartners still throw me for a loop. They're still the young faces, so.
But Chris, thank you. Thank you for everything you've done, everything that you do. We appreciate it. And yes, bring young people in and introduce them and turn them in.
Well, what they'd like to do before I bring them in is they would like to give their presentation that they gave at the Lego competition that we had. So they're going to give their brief 5-minute presentation, and then they'll go ahead and show off some of the programming that they did with their robot as well. Yes?
Can you give a background of what this is?
Oh, how yes. What this is First Lego League. It is a competition involving robotics and research. They have to do a research project. This year's theme was Nature's Fury. And then they have to give a presentation on that theme. So they had to research some sort of natural disaster. They had to research if they wanted to try and prevent, try and to help during, or how to rebuild after a natural disaster. And they will go into detail on what they did. I don't want to take their thunder away from them. So the research portion is huge on this. And then they have to do a robotics competition. This is the actual field that you would see at the competition, the one that we went to at Wayne High School in Huber Heights. They performed admirably at this competition, did quite well. And then also, one of the big things with First Lego League is they are very big on what's called core values. So they are very big on gracious professionalism, on cooperation, teamwork. It is not just about winning and scoring points. One of the big presentations they have to give is they give a presentation on teamwork. They have to work together as a team. And so one year they did a challenge, and they'll throw a random challenge at the group of kids. And one of the years was build a tower. They just had to build a tower. The team that built the highest tower was about 7 feet tall, and they failed miserably. Because when they were there, they weren't talking. They were doing everything privately. When they did talk to each other, they were rather snarky. The team that won that year, their tower was 2 inches. But when they went up there, everyone was talking to each other, everyone was listening to the ideas, and everyone was getting a turn. Our team, one of the things that I love about our team is our team took home a trophy for gracious professionalism. That meant more to me than actually moving on in the competition, because my kids came together and they showed that they can work together. We got tapped by one of the judges. They gave everyone on the team a temporary tattoo that says, "I got caught showing gracious professionalism," and that was huge. That was absolutely huge for me, because they did phenomenal. They were talking to every single team. They were asking questions. Any team that came up and asked for help, one of my guys was out there, or girls. Half my team is girls. One of my guys or girls was out there helping them, and they were doing great. Now, one of the background things about this, the reason why I said half my team is girls, is because we got a grant from Ohio's Women in Engineering Program. Education, which my son is not saying all the time. We got a grant from them, and one of the rules was, to get this grant, half of our team had to be girls. So we have 10 full-time players on the team, 5 girls, 5 guys, and then we have 2 alternates as well, because their applications were just so good, I could not pass them up. One of our alternates actually got a chance to compete at Wayne High School because one of our others had to bow out, and he did admirably as well. So without further ado, I'd like to bring my kids in.
Excellent.
And I'm going to go ahead and move this out of the way for them.
From here in Massachusetts, we're from Massachusetts Intermediate. I've got a short presentation for you, then a short skit, and afterward, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
We chose floods. We chose floods because most of the team members wanted to do floods. So when we picked floods, we did research. The research we did, we figured out that floods are caused by tropical storms, hurricanes, and high winds.
The community we picked is Miami, Florida. We picked Miami because it was number 6 on the top 10 most floods, and it is the number 1 city in the United States.
Some ways to prevent from floods is to get food and go to higher grounds.
Research has helped us by giving us knowledge and information for our poster. Some of our sources were, we had a couple websites, we had an article in a newspaper, we had a book called Floods, and Eric Elwell from 10 TV News came in.
We had an expert come in, Eric Elwell from 10 TV News. He told us that 6 inches of water can knock a person down. 2 feet of water can make a car float, and 4 miles per hour can damage a house.
Our solution for preventing a flood is that we have 2 doors that lead to 2 large pits. When the pits start to fill up, the water will be sucked out by vacuums into 12 individual water towers.
We think a team needs cooperation, working together, cooperation, respecting others, and gracious professionalism, helping and respecting other teams.
We would like to thank our sponsors, Ohio State University Office of Outreach and Engagement, Ohio State University Women in Engineering, and last but not least, Madison Plains Local School District.
Thank you for watching our presentation. Now on to our skit.
This is your Eagle Miami News on Channel 67, your news leader.
This is your Eagle Miami News with Rebecca Grigsby.
And I'm Owen Phillips. Now to Sarah, who has the weather.
There's been a flood at 8:36 and ended at 10 o'clock this morning. So far, 13 people have been injured and 3 people have been killed.
Sad news there. Now off to Rachel, who's reporting in the field.
Today I'm talking to 2 children by the names of Picasso and Andrew.
We just lost our mom and dad. You may know of Catherine and Kenny James.
We also lost our house, and the puppy is still alive but has a broken leg. Kenny, our 18-year-old brother, is in the hospital because he got hit in the head with a table.
Terrible news there. Now off to Becky and Owen.
That was sad news. Later, Owen was in the field. This is what happened while he has the facts.
Water up to 6 inches high can knock a person down and completely drown them. Up to 2 feet of water can completely flood a car. And water running at 4 miles per hour can completely destroy a house. Now we're off to Joey, who's also in the field.
I am here with an elderly woman by the name of Katie Revolt, and she almost drowned, but luckily the ambulance saved her.
Yes, it felt like my legs were
going to
collapse. Just when I was about to cave in, I felt a hand grasp me and pull me out.
Well, I think that was a great save by the ambulance.
Well, that just about wraps that up for us. So, that
is your Eagle Miami News.
I have one. So when you guys roll out in the field, were you standing in water? Because those 2 young men looked like they were having a hard time getting through there. Yeah. Were you in a rowboat the first time, and then you jumped out and was just walking in the high water, or what?
A flood was after happening, so basically we were walking in the river, basically.
Well, I'm glad you made it out, bud.
I had one. With all the plans that you guys have done for Miami, should I be afraid to move to Miami, or are you guys going to make sure I'm safe?
Well, maybe our invention will be there, but
maybe
we're working on that.
So.
Who can tell Mr. Bean how much money it's cost Miami, Florida, over the past?
It's called. cost Miami, Florida over $64 billion in damage over the past 13 years?
I have a question. This is a hard one, and I want one of you, just one of you guys, to answer, whoever thinks of it first. What was your favorite part of the entire experience that you've done?
My favorite part was accomplishing the missions.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
My favorite part was accomplishing the missions.
Accomplishing the missions. Very good. And somebody else just stepped out really quick. I want to hear your best experience.
My best experience was having a good time.
Having a good time, working together. Very good. Very impressive, guys.
Well, we were a little bit nervous. You're the largest group that we've given a presentation to. I have two groups of kids that would like to show some of the programming we've done and work with the table a little bit. Now, one thing I will say about the tables, we could not have done this without parent support. The Phillips family donated not only their time and effort to make our permanent wooden table that's in our lab, but they also, after asking me to find the plans for a portable table, which what you're seeing in front of you, without even asking, they dropped what they were doing and built the portable table for us as well. And we'll be able to take this to the competition with us, so we don't have to worry about renting table time there. If you've ever been to one of the competitions, they have four pit area tables, and you get 20 minutes at a time on that table. Now we'll have a permanent table that not only can we use, but our team has already said that we're going to donate time to other teams when we're not using it.
So,
which scores points? The Phillips family also donated. You're seeing some of our students are wearing shirts that are Eagle Robotics shirts. The Phillips family also donated the shirts for the first run of them. So, and our lovely model Katie is showing off the shirt.
I see the shirt design in the book over here. It looks like a lot of thought went into it.
The kids did that.
Fantastic.
The kids, they designed their shirts.
And it wasn't just one person who designed the shirt. They actually took designs from parts of designs from everybody and threw them together to make the shirt. So it was a true collaborative effort. Okay, who would like to go first? Jerry, you want to go first? Okay, Jerry. So you guys want to explain what you're doing?
We are doing the tsunami wave, the thing with the water on it. Then as soon as it finishes that, it will push the ambulance to the end of the board in the runway. And then our robot will park in the red zone.
What's the tool you guys just put down?
This is our alignment tool. So we know where to align it to, so that it can hit all the missions directly. It's always trial and error. So.
Chris, who's operating the apparatus?
Rachel Weiss and Jerry Slagle are operating right now. Okay. And if you want to know the name of the robot's name is Benny.
Benny.
We have Ben, and then our experimental robot back in the lab is Jerry. Yes, after the X-ray.
Good choice.
I would also like to say something. I have a remote control truck. Now I'm named Joey.
Okay. Joey and...
Joey and Andrew.
We will be doing the next...
Thank you.
to align it. We had extra parts put onto our alignment tool so we could push it out. And
portion is something we're working on right now. We have a box that we can add later on that we're working with programming that allows us to bring some of the supplies and pets back to base. The base is the only area where the students are actually allowed to touch the robot. If they touch it while it's out in the field, you get a touch penalty, which is 10 points against your score. So, okay, we're going to try it one more time. There you go. Okay.
Program, or does it the pressure?
Each move is programmed. Each move is programmed in. We are working on eventually adding touch sensors, or they also have an ultrasonic sensor, so it can actually sense things like a bat. And we'd like to see it get close enough, use the ultrasonic sensor, so when it gets close enough, it just slams down the arm automatically. So that's something we're working on, but we are a rookie team, so it is a learning year for us all.
So is there a chip in the device and you do the programming on the computer and then download it to the chip?
Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, Joey, if you want to hold up the robot and show them the program block that we're using.
This is the program block right here. The brick is like the mine. You download stuff to it. You can press buttons right here to be able to get different programs. And you just press the middle button when you're on the right program, and it goes.
And I'll walk around with the laptop. This is the laptop we've been using. This is the programming suite that we use for it. This is the program you guys were seeing with the tsunami wave and the ambulance. So each portion has to be programmed in. We have to figure out how long we want it to go out. Well, they do. They do all the math.
They write all the code.
They do. They write everything. I'm not allowed to help program. I can just give them ideas. And so the biggest extent of my help is I will put a finger on the table and I'll say, make the robot touch my finger. That's about it. They have to figure out how they do it.
This competition is timed. They only have, what,
two and a half minutes
for the whole table to score as many points as they can.
Hmm? That's the tsunami.
I'm going to show you the most amount of points you can get. It's called the Family Challenge. There's a person right here and a person right here.
Are you in my way?
Thanks. Sorry about that.
For two people in, it is 33 points.
Go ahead and just drop them in. It's all good.
Three
people in the hair. That's fine.
Three people in gives you 66.
Just for getting them in the red zone. So.
And there's already one done for you.
Okay. Does anyone else have any other questions? Or can I let my students tear down the table and...
I got one last thing. I almost see the airplane.
Yeah. I'm an airplane guy, man.
I've been sitting here waiting to see that.
Yeah, that's right.
I think so. Well,
should we have the touch bar?
Yep. Had to pick the one we're having problems with.
And the thing, David,
I'm sure it'll go just smooth.
No, wait, they're gonna do even if they release the airplane past the land in the zone.
It's not tight enough.
The zone is the gray.
The yellow, it's got a yellow.
There it goes!
Yes.
Oh, yeah! Right.
Now, the competition tables are set up a little bit higher, so it will go all the way to the yellow or the blue. If we get into the yellow, Rachel, Rebecca, what? How much is the points in the yellow? Do you remember?
Sam knows this.
I don't know. The points in the yellow area, that would equal 3 points.
Mm-hmm. And in the blue area?
And in the blue area, if I remember right, that would equal 50 points.
Those two are my rules people. They're the ones in charge of finding out all the rules and all the points.
Sarah and I make a skit.
Okay.
Excellent job.
You want to try it?
Oh, of course.
Functioning problems.
Okay.
They really want to show us. We want to see this again.
Final one.
And then me and Dave can play with it.
When they compete, there's 3 rounds. Our first round, how many points did we score, Mr.?
72.
Our first round, we got 72. Our second round, we did 22. And then our third round, we did 152 points.
Awesome.
Excellent job.
They were able to go back, make refinements, and then
they had a perfect run.
Okay, ladies, boys and girls, do me a favor. Tear down, please.
Yes!
Excellent job, you guys.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't mean to. You screwed up his face.
While they're tearing down, one person I do need to thank more than anyone else is, it is part of the Phillips family. Last year, Kyle Phillips came and brought this to my attention. She and her mother and her son, who is on the team with us, came to me. And I honestly didn't know at the end of the school year last year if this was going to happen, because they came, we talked about it, and then Kyle got super busy at OSU. She's graduating
in May,
so she's been working with everything. And then this year, at the beginning of the school year, they came back to me and said, hey, we want to do it. Okay, I've got SLOs, new students, new classes. Sure, I'll add another thing to my plate. And it has been the most frustrating thing I've done, a very stressful thing, and I would not hesitate to do this again. It has been one of the most enjoyable things I've done with these students.
Is this an every year thing?
This will be an every year thing now. I've already said I will do this again next year.
But that being said, Shauna Fletcher, who is in charge of women in engineering, Kyle works for her, so that's how we kind of... She was looking for teams. She already sponsors 5 other teams throughout Columbus City. We told her this is a real environment. She sponsored this team for 3 years. We would like to have more teams sponsor the other team.
Okay, guys, head on out.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, kids. Great.
Send me an email and I can send you the exact.
Oh, you need the book? We didn't even get a chance to look at it.
All right, I like to watch the video.
Okay.
You probably want this other sheet too.
R-H-O.
She probably wants this other sheet too.
A-D-S.
Thank you so much.
F. MPLS.org.
All right, Chris. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us here. It meant a lot for them to get to come out and show you all their hard work.
And it just as much to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes.
Chris, you have
Yes, our poster. We got to use that.
The accomplishment
for that. Oh, and we will be competing again January 11th and 12th. The 11th is a closed-door session where they go and do all the judging for the presentation. The 12th is the Robot Wars, the Robot Games, and I would love to see all of you there. come cheer on our robotic eagle, our Eagle Robotics team, please.
Where will that be held?
That will be at Wayne High School in Huber Heights.
Okay. I'm familiar with it.
Yes.
Straight shot.
Kids went to school there.
It is a straight shot.
This level of competition is fourth through sixth grade.
My father helped clear the first schoolyard in 1922.
One of the things Mr. Rhodes did not mention is that it is highly unusual for a first-year team to get to move on in the competition, and our team scored second at the competition.
Was that in the press? I read that somewhere. Was that in the paper?
It's on our website right now.
That's where I saw it.
It's on Ohio State's website also.
Okay.
We're working on it, Rick.
I read it somewhere.
I did get emails from Ms. Phillips there regarding that. We're working on it. Probably this gal is working on it too here.
Well, that was very neat. I'm impressed. Now, if we can get back to the work session, thank you for your input, Don. Does anybody else have anything for the work session?
I'd just like a quick update on the high school photos. I encourage you to look into it, and I heard that there's some advantages.
We've taken down took them to Wilson's. They have a blueprint printer in Columbus that's going to take the, Tim and my wife are going to take the deposits out. They won't scan it through the glass, but we found a large enough blueprint printer. He can take the composite, put it on a glass plate, scan it, and then it's going to digitize it and then send it back to Tim and Barb, and then they're going to try and update any picture, you know, fix any pictures and things they need to do. And then we're going to be able to dictate the screen size and everything.
That's outstanding.
We're going to, you know, we'll do two as a trial once we can cost it out and then figure out what it's going to cost us. But the big thing is we want to be able to get that digital media, so then if we ever want to go with the website or put some things on the website or doing some things with it, we could do that.
I'm glad you guys went with Tim. You know, past graduate means a lot to him, and I'm sure it'll be done well. Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Let's move on. We've got the public communication. I don't see anybody signed up on the board. Is there anybody that forgot to sign up? We'll move on. Do I have a motion for the approval of the minutes?
I make a motion that the minutes of the November 19th, 2013 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Rick. Is there discussion? None appearing. Tim?
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Blosser?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Mordaunt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Tim, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. The financial statements were provided to you. CFO notes were provided to you. No, I have nothing to add to those. The one thing we do need to take a look at, in particular, is the election filing deadlines. The reason why we need to talk about that now is we do have an expiring operating levy next year that we need to decide what we're going to run and when we're going to run it. If you're going to run in May, the filing deadlines...
coming up quick.
Okay, what we are looking at, if it's an emergency levy, I have to have the first resolution to the county auditor's office by January 31st. So we would have to have at least one meeting prior to that date to approve an emergency levy and submit to the county auditor. We'd also have to have a second meeting by February 5th. Now our scheduled meetings right now are the 14th and most likely the 21st. So that fits, we should be okay there, but again, with new board members, we'd have to have quite a bit of discussion about what we're going to do at that point. If we're doing a property tax levy, you can see the dates are January 24th and February 5th, and that would be a simple renewal of the current operating levy. So I bring this to your attention just so you know, and the new board members know, that right off the bat in January, we have to make some pretty quick decisions whether we're going to be on and what's going to be on. So
it looks like with the February 5th deadline for the Board of Elections, we'll have to have a special meeting before our February regular meeting so that we can go ahead and get that.
Well, we have the organizational meeting on the 14th and a regular on the 21st, I believe.
Tim, refresh my memory.
Oh, I thought it was both. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Refresh my memory. Is that on, how was that laid out on our plan, our five-year plan? Was it passed in May?
Well, technically the operational levy was supposed to be on last year.
Okay.
But we had to keep bumping it back because of the PI levy. So really it's scheduled to be on as soon as possible. And really you've got May, August, and November as your opportunities to pass that levy. A minimum we have to renew. That's a big chunk of our operating budget that we can't go without. So the minimal passage is a renewal. That there are other options that we need to go into more detail on at one of those meetings where I explain, you know, here's the forecast, here's the 10-year, here's how much this equates to. If you're going to do an emergency levy, which takes it off of the 20 mil floor calculation, so we actually start getting growth off our new values that come into the district, which I know Mr. Swanger's preached for quite a while, be the best way for us to do. But again, if we go away from a simple renewal, we've seen our past track record of doing anything other than renewal. So that's why there's got to be quite a bit of discussion.
And I caution the new board and anybody, any of us that will continue to help, it's going to have to be a hard effort or a big effort for us since we just passed the levy. You know, a lot of the public doesn't really care what kind of levy it was. They just said yes to this one. Now we're going to, if we put an emergency or whatever, we have to get out there. We have to shake hands. We have to talk to people. We have to do sales to get that passed. It's not just going to be an article in the paper and a blurb on our website. Hard work is going to get that one passed. Anything short of that will not happen. It won't happen anytime. So, Tim, what do you want from our current board today? Do you want us to table? Do you want us to vote on moving forward? Do you want us to have a discussion
The intent of this was just bringing to your attention that early next month we have possibly some decisions to be made.
Okay.
And I say possibly, new board can come in and say, no, we don't want to do anything for May. Mm-hmm. That's an option too.
Sure.
To give space between the last election and the next time we're on. So, I mean, that's the organizational meeting, we're going to have a lot to talk about. And I'm just bringing to your attention so you're not blindsided coming in that, hey, I didn't realize we had to talk at the first meeting about a new levy. So
just continue to think about the voter's mind.
Yeah.
That's all I can say is think about the voter's mind and give us the best opportunity to pass this.
I think, I know I'm not going to get an opportunity to talk on this again, but yeah, we have to do this on the May ballot. It's got to be the emergency levy because that's the only thing that's going to work for us down the road. If we do not get to that 20 mil floor, we're going to lose another chunk of money, which we can't afford to do. And I think another thing we need to look at as far as these levies that we're putting on, we just failed to pass a 1.25 replacement, which we needed to bring the buildings that we've got up to date. And I think part of the communication, we need to make sure that people understand that we have saved this school district $48 to $50 million over the next 28 years. That we've got buildings that have housed, that now house half of our kids. They're paid for, and all we have to do is keep maintenance on them. The buildings were put up primarily with the money that we're saving on maintenance and repair. The money that we're putting into this, to the old middle school, there's a payback on that, and what we're gonna save on that is enough to cover the cost of putting those heating units, or actually heating and cooling units, in there. But these are things that we have got to get across to the public. I know we're working hard. We're trying to get out there and get information out. But when we come down and take a look at what our success isn't there until people understand the value of what it is that we're trying to get to our kids. The education that they have got to have, and that status quo will not get our kids employed when they graduate from this school system. We have got to move up. We cannot stay static, and we have got to get that information out. But I think we go with an 8 mil minimum. I almost think we ought to go for 9, and I know that it'd get beat on. I'll even announce it. The only thing they can do is give me a few more lumps. But we've got to get more money into this. And people need to understand that as far as financials go and the cost of educating kids, we are one of the lowest cost expense per student districts in the state. And we do a pretty good job, but we have got to do better than what we're doing now. Mr. Hall and the rest of the administration and our teachers are doing their best to bring kids up, but as I look at it, we've got issues with buildings. We've got issues with room. You know, we put in classrooms, but we didn't provide any place for these kids to play. There's no gymnasium. There's no auditorium. There was no new kitchen. There was no new place for the kids to eat. So we'd get our shoehorn out and stick them into what we got now. And our kids have got to have a little bit better situation than what we're providing. But it's up to the people.
We need the work to be done. That's pretty much all we need to say at this point, right?
Yeah, we've got to get that done. And I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, start with at least an 8 mil. It's got to be an emergency. There's no choice there, and go forward with it.
Another thing I have to update the board on is Mr. Hunter's favorite tool that we now use.
The Gantt chart.
Yes, I know it's a Gantt chart.
Maybe one of you come up.
And I noticed there's some things that aren't started on the old Gantt chart.
Well, there it is. What do you think?
No one. Mine doesn't look like that.
There's a little more that needs to be done, I think.
Well, it's not like it now. There you go.
There it goes.
The only thing we've added, I've highlighted the month that we're talking about that we're going to review. November is the last cutoff date that we're going to be talking about. In January, we'll look at December where we're at. The only things as of the end of November that taking the liberty of strategy 4A, creation of a rigorous curriculum plan. 4A asks that we develop an evaluation process for our current programs. That, as of November, is complete, the completion of the process. A lot of these items will be placed in what Mr. Hall is calling basically administrative guidelines. So whenever we're going to evaluate a program, we have a process for doing that now. We didn't bring that tonight, but we will be showing that to the board at some point along with other items that we've developed, but that is strategy 4A that is now completed. One other area that is now complete is identification of the needs of our students, of the individual needs of each student, and that was underneath our intervention and enrichment strategy. That is now complete. It's an ongoing process that will always be in place, but all students now have been assessed in one way or another, where we've been identified their needs. And you'll see that with a lot of these. They'll become perpetual things that we just do moving forward. But we had to start the process, and now we have. So those are the two areas that for tonight that we can update you and let you know that are now completed. We are still working on things like the communication plan. A draft is now completed. It does incorporate most, if not all, of the things that the board has expressed as a desire that they want to see in the communication plan. It's now at the stage with Mr. Hall and Michelle Broom and myself refining that. The DLT has looked at it. The admin has looked at it. There are going to be some minor changes to it, but it will be brought to you probably next month, is what I would say with you, Mr. Hall. Hopefully. For you to take a look at that. So you'll see those oranges turn to blue at that point once we get a plan in place. And intervention enrichment is a big area. It's probably one of the biggest areas we have that we're dealing with. There's a lot of things that are in process. Response intervention team within each building being developed is still in process. It's past due. Defining a response intervention process in each building is past due. Same thing with the enrichment process in each building. That's a big piece, and we today looked at that and thought that we were very aggressive in setting the timeline that we did, because it's taking a lot of work with our staff. This isn't just something the administration can say, here's what we're going to do. That goes to the TBTs and the BLTs to develop that. So that will stay orange probably for another month or two. But it is in process. It is being worked on. Again, you'll get this each month moving forward, just trying to give you a bit of an update. You'll get this in advance next time. The timing was that the admin met today, so this was the earliest I could get it to you. But we'll have it to you a week in advance next time. And I believe that is it, other than the action items.
Okay. Do I have a motion for the financial statements?
So moved.
Okay, Don is recommending, upon the recommendation of the treasurer, that the November 2013 financial statements be approved as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Don, seconded by Rick. Discussion? Tim?
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Blosser?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, Moon, it's all you.
A couple things. Chris has covered the pictures, the robotics. What I want to do is share with the board and share with members coming onto the board. We do have an update on the HVAC. We received some numbers today from our people that are working on the specs. And what we're finding basically is the systems that we have, the three systems that we have in the two rooms, and you can go talk to the teacher sometime. At zero, those units were putting out, those rooms were 72 degrees with no electric strip heaters in them, no propane. Just a heat pump. So I have no doubt that 15 below zero, those things will still put out 110 degree air. So if we had another couple cold days, I'd like to see them a little bit more, and surely we'll have that for the winter. But what is in there is working, is my point. The part that we thought we would have to update is the electrical system. We have a 1956 electrical system that's outdated, obviously. I definitely could even get parts. They're reluctant to tie more service on this unit. Last year we had a problem with coming into the system, some underground wires that shorted out, $5,000 bill. We have some transformers that's been sitting there since 1956. We're on borrowed time. So what I'm gonna do is show you some figures that I've got in, and these figures are not specced out, or they're not exactly the way the figures will come in. They will be high, and hopefully we can do some things when the board, when we put these specs out for bidding, which the board has already gave the approval to do in September. But what I need from this board and people that's coming on the board is, do we pursue this? And once you see these numbers, then we can talk. So Tim, we want to hit that first.
You want the email from Hunter and the summary on the front?
Yeah. I don't want you to panic when you see that bottom line. Those are high numbers. Those are a lot of numbers in there that allows for something to come up and is taken care of, contingency, whatever. But you look at the mini split units. Basically, to install mini split units like we have in our two rooms, turnkey is $295. That is what we wrote our straight A fund for, $295,000, which we made the first cut, as another one that CARE put in made the first cut, but we didn't make the second cut. However, I can tell the board's a straight A fund. This particular one that we did, is sustainable for years to come, and I'll guarantee you the ones that were approved are not sustainable 4 or 5 years down the road. So it's, I don't know, it's politics as usual. I have all my administrators put a lot of time into developing these grants, and we come in and we get shoved to the side. It's very discouraging. But we, next time they open up, we will go back in and resubmit them again. But the mini split units, the big thing is the second thing that we didn't really count on, and that's upgrading the electrical system. We really cannot do it completely until we do that.
So we need to do that upgrade before we can install all of those minis like we want to?
Yes.
And that was including the new switch gears and everything else, I think.
The other big thing is the gym needs to be able to see that's the heating and cooling. That will contain strip heaters. They can't heat or cool that unless we've got the, or heat it unless we have the strip heaters. And you see the cost of that. That's a big item. Now, we can throw this thing out for bids, and the board can pick and choose. We can do the mini split units, or really we have to do the electrical upgrade first, then start working on the mini split units. We can do this whatever the board feels we can handle. Dollar-wise, I don't think we can do it. We do have some dollars in our PI fund, but this would put definitely a dent in it. And if something happened, we would have no dollars to take care of an emergency. I wouldn't recommend the board go to this degree at this time. Had we passed our replacement levy, then it would allow for this. We could have gone this direction.
What's the payback on the mini split units?
If you look at that figure there, it's we feel that by putting the mini split units, looking at just propane, and I didn't really get in and dig out all the maintenance, all the labor, we think we can save $33,000 propane a year. And probably another 15 to 20 in just maintenance and upkeep, and that's not taking into account if we have to dig a floor up in custodian time or Larry's maintenance guy's time.
So you're looking at a payback on the $295 of 4 years?
3.5, 4 years.
But you're also saying that we can't just do the $295, right?
No, we have to do that electric.
Well, you can't do that until you do the $79.
I think we can possibly do, I would recommend that the board strongly consider maybe the upgrading the electric and the look at the mini split units in one phase.
And I agree.
And put them out there and just see what the numbers come back with. I think the numbers are high. Labor and everything it takes to get these in.
Well, down the road, with technology being what it is, my guess is we're going to have to go to more electric somewhere. And if we don't put this in, we can't even put those heaters and coolers in. We've got to go forward with this, and I think the other choice is new building. But we've got decent roof, we've got decent windows in there. The rest of the building is in pretty good shape. Well, if we take care of heating and cooling, and the electric, that building ought to last a while longer.
Tim, can we pay for the upgrade on the electric right now?
How do you mean, can we pay?
Can we afford it?
The PI fund has that much money, yes. But, as right. Mr. Hall pointed out, you spend all your cash. If anything else goes wrong, you're in a pickle.
So my question is can the PI fund pay for the $451 right now?
Yes.
Okay, so if we just use the PI fund to do the electrical upgrade right now, we're in much better shape with the PI fund, right? Is that what he's going to do?
So we can still go ahead and do the upgrade. So I say we go ahead and farm that out, see what it's going to cost to get the upgrade done, and then we'll move on from there and
I agree.
Make some decisions when the new board gets on what we're going to ask for from the public.
I agree.
I don't want this thing sitting idle anymore. You know, I'm not blaming anybody, I'm not saying anything's wrong right now, but I'm starting to feel like, well, we're going to try to shuffle this thing to the side again, and we're not going to get it done. and I want it done. Because those kids deserve better than what they've got over there right now. So we're going to have to get this done. One way or the other, we got to get it done.
I've tried to keep the board updated. I can't make people, architects that's designing these things, I can't make them move any faster than they want to move.
And it's not a fact of getting on. What I'm talking about now, we're throwing numbers out there and saying, do we really want to do this? Yeah, we want to do this. We'll figure out how to get it done. So we'll do one thing at a time. So we need to do the upgrade. And if that's what it takes, I'm asking this board to move on it tonight. We need to tell Mr. Hall we need to get that upgrade done. So we need to farm that out and find out what it's going to cost. If you think you can get that done cheaper than $79,000?
I don't think there's going to be much movement on that number, because a lot of that number comes from High Edison and also the electrical company that has to do all this changeover.
Dave, I
and the other side of this, it can't be done. My goal in one of my goals was January to have this done. Well, obviously that's not going to happen. But we cannot do this until summertime, because it's about a week or 2 weeks that electric has to be shut down to make this changeover. That's going to be a problem.
I really think, Dave, spending this much money, this is my personal opinion, and there'll be 3 seats that will be replaced after tonight. I think this is something the new board's going to have to vote on and move on, because they're first going to have to look. It's just like building a building. You're going to have to sit down and count your cost. You're going to have to look at the levies that you're going to be able to put on in order to come back and refund
this money.
And I
understand
what you're
saying, but what I'm saying has nothing to do with that right now. I'm not saying that we're going to vote to pay for this. We'll give them the direction. Get that thing farmed out right now. That's not saying we're going to do anything yet. Just find out what the prices are.
Well,
bottom line, that's
the bid.
You want to get the bid.
Yes.
Yeah. Get the bid.
And that just costs your bidding cost.
Yeah, that's okay if you just want to get bids. I thought you wanted to move on something tonight. But no, if you want to bid it out, you can bid it out. Doesn't mean you have to accept them when they come in.
Exactly.
You can bid everything on here.
I guess what I'd say is bid it in parts. If you do the whole thing, give us a price. If you do mini split, split those out individually and combined, get a price from them, and let's see where we are. From what you're saying tonight, if you want to put the heating units in, they're not going to be in until next year anyway, because you can't do it now. You can't change the electricity over now.
Correct.
But you can get the prices now so that we can make a decision on it. Let's go ahead and do that part. Maybe we could get by with doing the upgrade and the mini splits, and maybe doing the gymnasium later. I don't know. Get a price.
Gotcha.
Let's just don't sit on this thing.
I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah, we gotta do something. I'm looking at the other attachments to that. CT Electric, is that just to purchase the equipment? The switch gears?
CT Electric is the electrical contractor that will be running all the wires and hooking everything up.
Okay. And then we had the Ohio Edison folks.
Ohio Edison is our electric company that will come in and set the big transformers. But even that, even the Ohio Edison, that may not be.
That's right. Okay.
We give them those specs, and they may not be the company that sets the transformer.
Right, so it looks like Ohio Edison is going to come in and do the stuff on their end,
right.
and then CT Electric will come in and do everything after that, so
correct.
That we'll be ready for the minis when they get here. Okay.
And if you look at some of those numbers in there that went back to the labor, I think the labor is high, and I'm hoping that through this bidding process that labor certainly is, because the maintenance and even myself, we worked with those things individually, and it's not a rocket science's deal to put those in. It's rather, once you get the electric and the
once you get the
boxes and the shutoff boxes, it's pretty much right there. It's not a big heavy units or anything like that.
These are simply your engineer's estimates, and they're always going to estimate very high.
Mm-hmm.
It's their receipt.
And that labor might be inclusive with the concrete and the getting the switch gears installed and getting all that other. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if it was that. I really wouldn't be surprised if it was 50 to 60,000.
do. Remember, I can't do it till the architects have to get me the, they have to write the specs up, and then we'll get them out there. But I'll get them out, Dave, as fast as I can get them out there. And
kick them.
I'd be kicking
I think we need, I think if we wait much past January or February for that information, then we're going to be short on getting the bids, and then all the setup stuff that they could be working on, they can do, you know, the end of May while school is still going on with the new pad or whatever, you know, give them an opportunity to look at what they've got going on, so that once school is done, they should be able to hit the ground running and have it all done.
We'll put time span on it.
Yep.
The other thing I have just to, I would like to take a moment and just recognize three of our board members that has served this district, served the students of this district for many years, and even the one that's only been in 6 months, he has impacted the what's going on in this district in a positive manner. And I'd just like to take a minute, Mr. President,
sure.
Just present each one of those people, say, hey, guys, thank you. I think we have, as a team, we have done a lot of things in the last 5 or 6 years, and hope that we'll continue to do that. And I have no doubt that the other board will do the same. But, Rick, I know you've only been on 6 months, but we certainly appreciate you coming on board in a difficult time, helping us out, and little appreciation, a little plaque. Say thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And the lady that I've been around a long time, Miss Blankenship, she's been my secretary in transportation and lunchroom and high school secretary, so she's been around a long time, but she served on this board a period of 8 years and has done, seen quite a few changes. So, Linda, thank you for everything you've done. Another guy that has been around for 13 plus years, and Don, for 13 years I've given you the opportunity to keep your presentations under 13 minutes. This is your last chance. So Don Swanger has been on the board 13 plus years, and Don, we certainly thank you for
less than 30. Okay, I think I can do that. No, I just want to say to the new board members, we have really changed things in this district. I came on this board in 1996, and this school district was in serious trouble. We had a superintendent and a treasurer at that time, and those people are both gone. We had to pick a new superintendent. We thought we picked a pretty good one because we picked Mr. Hall at that time, and he was doing a really good job. By 2000, this school district was moving along. We were making progress. We were improving the education of our kids, and things were really looking up. And then in 2000, the good people of the Madison Plains School District managed to put on a school board that just about destroyed this school district. We came as close to losing this school district in 2000, and between then and 2000 and actually two that we have ever come, even though it came pretty close back in 1986. And I hope that never happens again. In fact, I can tell you that it will only happen once more. Because if it happens the way it did the last time, this school district will disappear. There's no way that we could make up the millions that we had to raise in order to save this school district, or the cuts that had to be made and maintain it. We have made much more cuts since then, especially since Boone's been here, and there's more cuts have got to be made. Unfortunately, new board members and a couple old board members, you've got a real problem, because 75% of our budget is employee salary and benefits. the opportunity of cutting expenses anymore is slim to none. You're not going to do much more cutting. And you've got to increase professional development for our people. We need more space for our kids. We need to increase our enrollment. Open enrollment has got to bring more kids in. That's going to be expensive because right now we're on the guarantee. And what that means is until we reach the numbers where we were in, I think, what was it, 2009, somewhere in there where the guarantee hits, till we reach those numbers again, we don't get a dime from the state. So we got to raise those numbers. It can be done. We've got enough room to do that. We've got room for more of our kids at our sister school up at Tolles. We need to increase the number of kids that are getting that training. We need to increase the number of kids who are graduating and not completing a degree. We send 65% of our kids on to college, 30% graduate. Part of those, the 30% of them, have no saleable skills. We've got to get those saleable skills into those kids so that they can get out here and qualify for the high-tech work that's coming into this school district and this state. So those are some of the challenges that you've got. Your biggest one is going to be to educate the public. Kids are easy. But when you start talking about educating the public, you got a real problem because there's a paradigm out there that if you go to school, work hard, get a high school diploma, you're okay. And if you take a look at part of the reasons why people aren't voting for levies, it's because some of them aren't working. If you're not working, you're either, well, number one, disabled, or number two, you don't have any saleable skills. Because if you've got saleable skills, somebody will pay you for them. So if you don't have any, maybe you need to look at going back to school again. And once you're past 18, that's a tough decision. And I see that at Tolles because I see people that come into our adult programs, that come into our basic education programs, and I can look at this group over here because most of you graduated, started working, and then you went by and got these other degrees. And once you got a family and you're working, man, that's tough to do. And it's tough for anybody out there. So we got to get our kids better prepared by the time we get to, I'm up to 13 minutes already.
Yes, I think you are, Don.
Anyway, that's the challenges that you've got in front of you. And I wish you good luck with them because we got to get there. And our kids are better or at least as good as any kid anywhere in the world. And they can compete with them if we do our job.
Thank you, Mr. Sloan. The only other thing I have is recognize Ken for a pretty nice little appointment. Is that in Hawaii, Ken, that you get a...
No, not Hawaii. But yeah, I was asked at the Capitol Conference by Michelle Francis, who is the executive, not the executive director, but she's the assistant director for the legislative services at OSBA, to see if I wanted to fill the open seat that they have on the Federal Relations Network. And I said, well, let's give it a shot and see what happens.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. Thank you. It's going to be exciting and fun. From what everybody tells me, the trip to Washington, D.C. is going to be packed full of things to do. We'll get a chance to sit with our senators the first day. I think that's Monday, either Sunday or Monday. And then we'll break out and meet with the congressmen from the districts the following day. So hopefully we get to see the congressmen and senators. Sometimes it's somebody else, but at least we get a voice in there and let them know what's going on with our region and with our district. So I'm excited about it. Hopefully I do right and impress them and do a good job for the district.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think enough can be said about the effort and time that Don and Linda and Rick, even though it's only been a few months, but there's a lot of effort that goes into this, and you guys' commitment to the district is unparalleled, I think. So I really appreciate it, and obviously Boone and the rest of the district does too. So thank you. There's no unfinished business. Can we move on to a new business?
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board appoint Mike Tomlinson to announce the running public library board for a 7-year term.
I'll second it.
Motion by Dave, seconded by Linda. Is there discussion?
Sure you want to do this, right?
Oh, no, I'm the director.
That's not my
Yeah, he's the director.
I'm the one coming to you for the motion.
Is he going to be good for you?
Yes. Mr. Tomlinson has already served the board, and he has a good finance background. He works for Chase Bank now. So he's a good person to have on the board. So we're excited that he's willing to renew. So
this is his second or third term?
Might be his third. I know for sure too.
So, okay.
Yeah. I came to you last a few months ago because the person whose term had expired last year, I didn't start till after January. I didn't realize that no one would come. So I should come to you either in November or December of each year. Who's ever the library director, it expires one person every year. And I think the tradition here has been that we bring a name to you to recommend. So
we'll get another one next year, right?
Yes.
You're always welcome, though. You don't just have to come November or December. You can come May.
Yeah,
I've been
here 4 times
yeah.
now, I think. So this is the one for next year.
Okay.
It's the only one expiring right now.
Excellent.
Got you covered, Chris.
All right, thank you.
Is there any other discussion? None appearing. Tim?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Blosser?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation the superintendent to accept the resignation of Phil Powers, high school math teacher, effective December 31st, 2013. Mr. Powers served the district for 5¾ years.
Second.
Motion by Dave, seconded by Rick. Discussion? Tim?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Blosser?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Moving on to donations.
Mr. President, I make the motion upon recommendation of the superintendent the board approve the following donations as written below.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Dave, seconded by Linda. Is there a discussion? We can't really see. I think everybody's got an agenda. A pretty good chunk of change here.
Anytime money's coming into this district, it's much appreciated. Absolutely.
There you go. Excellent. No other discussion? Can we have the vote, please?
Sure. Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Blosser?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
There are no new agenda items. We are going to be going into executive session. Before we do, I'd like to remind everybody that the next regular meeting, or the organizational meeting, is going to be on January 14th. And I want to hope everybody has a safe and joyful holiday. And thank you for coming. With that, I'm going to move that we go into executive session for the purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 121-22G. Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public official, employee, licensee, or regulated individual. Also, Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes. 820. The motion by me. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Seconded by Don. Tim?
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Blosser?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Merry Christmas. Awesome. Before we go any farther, since part of this is Section 1, and I know this is evaluation, I would like to be able to invite the three up-and-coming board members to our executive session.
Yep.
Okay.
They probably want to get a picture of the three of you with your plaques and certificate, so we'll let them get their picture with all three of you together for that.
annual blood check.
I still have some. It is. Yes. That's no problem. Call me and I'll have a point. We'll be talking about it.
Regular 7 o'clock.
And you're not combining it with your separate regular.
Dean's ready to go.
And the house is real close to that particular spot.
I was hoping to
hear same picture of that. Bed and breakfast. The woman said, recommended to that lady.
We won't sit in the back there forever.